Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm coming at you live from Ashland, Virginia. It is the week of April 27th, 2013. And that means Ashland Railroad Run. That was held yesterday here in the center of the universe, the annual pilgrimage to the center of the universe to run along the railroad tracks in one of three events or two of three events, which I will talk about. Also going to hit on the activity up in Boston a little bit in this podcast. I will kind of briefly touch on the Blue Ridge Marathon that I ran on April 20th with my good friend Sandy Steiner out of Michigan. The reason I'm only going to kind of briefly touch on that is because I plan to kind of do a sit-down conversation with her over Skype, which I'll end up producing for the podcast, and we'll share a lot of our comments about that marathon then. That'll probably be in the next show once I get that set up with her. She's already agreed to it and promised to do it. So yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about Boston, and you know, I really don't know where to start or really what to say. You know, the event was a couple weeks ago, and I just can't imagine being up there and present for that. The finish line of a marathon is a joyous spot, and that's what it should be. And unfortunately, those killers decided to change that. So, you know, from every Boston Marathon from here on out will be different. That's for sure. I've never run Boston. I won't ever qualify for it to get in that way. I could probably raise money and run it. I don't have a real desire to run the Boston Marathon. It's nothing against the race. It's just too big for the kind of stuff I like to do. But I have a lot of respect for it because it's kind of the Super Bowl of marathoning, and I've had friends that have run it and told me about it. And but like I said, the finish line of a marathon is just supposed to be a joyous place, a place where, you know, all your emotion comes to a point where you cross the finish line and, you know, you basically think about what's next, what am I going to conquer next? And that was ripped from so many people, not only that those joyous emotions, but physical limbs and then life. You know, makes you wonder what is going through someone's head right when they're planning something like that, and, you know, why they choose to kill. And that's what these people are. They're killers, terrorists, whether the president calls them terrorists or not. Frankly, I don't really care what he labels things anymore because he's just frankly ruined the country. But that can only last for so many more years. I'm sorry if your political persuasion supports that, but it doesn't really matter what these people are called. The evidence that's been shown on TV, which doesn't seem to be refuted or disputed, you know, clearly shows these people that they organized and killed people and maimed a lot for life. And that's the part that that really disturbs me. And I guess the only fortunate thing is that their names are not easy to pronounce, so they'll at some point kind of be forgotten. At least their names are, they won't be forgotten, but their names are not easy to remember, which is good. So that's Boston. My thoughts and prayers are with everyone affected by that. Now to a much better topic. I'm going to talk about, like I said, briefly, the Blue Ridge Marathon a little bit before I get into the Ashland Railroad Run and what happened in the center of the universe for our annual race, of which I've directed for the third year, fourth year being heavily involved in it. And I'll summarize that when I get to that part of the podcast. But the Blue Ridge Marathon took place April 20th in Roanoke. And I finished. This is a mountain marathon. It's not a it's not easy by any stretch. A marathon's not easy by any. I wouldn't think anybody thinks it's easy to go run 26.2 miles. I mean, it puts the body through a beating. But this marathon was in Roanoke, Virginia, a beautiful part of Virginia. Just gorgeous right there. There's mountains right in the city itself. And, of course, that's the first mountain that you climb, which is Mill Mountain. And this is a climb. It's not, I mean, it's a climb on road. It's a road marathon. It's not a mountain climbing with ropes or, you know, going over rocks or big boulders or anything like that. But these are narrow roads that, you know, switch back and wind around a mountain to get to the top. And there were several climbs, and I'll talk, you know, Sandy and I'll talk more about that. But it was almost ridiculous how steep some of these hills were. We finished in 5 hours and 30 minutes, which was fine with me. I just kind of wanted to come in somewhere between 5 and 6 hours and, you know, not get injured or anything. And I really think that my hill training paid off. I didn't run up the hills. We ran and walked up the hills. We did it kind of intervals going up the hills. We didn't do a whole lot of walking on the flats or the downs. I had a real hard time with the downhills, man. Sandy was smoking me on that. And we ran together for the most part, maybe never getting more than 50 yards apart. Reason for that, you know, sometimes in a marathon, you just got to kind of grind it out by yourself. You need some alone time. And this was the first time Sandy and I had met in person. You know, we had communicated over email. She's listening to the podcast. And we met through that way. I met her. She came down with her husband, Eric, and we met him. And I'd already interviewed her once for the podcast. And I knew what she looked like because I'd seen her pictures on the internet. And so I really did feel like I knew her because, you know, I'd already talked to her a couple times, actually, emailed. But it was really neat to finally meet her in person. So we just decided to run together. And there were just some times that we got split. I was able to kind of power walk and charge up the hills a little stronger because I had longer legs. I think that was why. Plus, she had just come off running a marathon the week before, the Martian Marathon. I think she ran a 4:19, which to me is really good because my PR is a 4:17. So, you know, anybody that runs under 4.5 hours in a marathon is, I feel like, is kind of similar to my ability level. And then she had a 24-hour race planned for this weekend. So the Blue Ridge Marathon was really just a long training run for Sandy, so that we certainly weren't out there for any racing any kind of time or anything. And with that being said, we just decided to stay together, and we talked, and the time went by. Well, I wouldn't say the time went by really fast because the back end of the race, it really started getting slow. But I will say that was probably the fastest 16 to 17 miles I've ever run, perception-wise with time, not actual clock time, but just perception-wise with time. We were not really focused on the watch. We were talking to each other, talking to other runners, met a couple of the maniacs out there. You know, talked to almost everybody we passed or passed us, just some small talk, which, you know, might kill 5 to 10 minutes. And, you know, you do that a few times and you've killed an hour. And it was just a lot of fun. Beautiful day. We'll talk more about that when we talk to each other over Skype, and I'll record that for the podcast. Yeah, but the finish line of this race was great. Just coming through the last couple of miles was flat because it was back down at the bottom. Roanoke's in a valley. It's called the Roanoke Valley, and so the race finishes at the bottom after you climb three mountains and descend them. I know I'm kind of going around in circles here, but from what I understand, I think they actually made the course harder from back in 2010 because I think Crash and John Snuggy Bear ran it, two guys from my Team Incognito group, and they were, when we have a group webpage for our virtual training group, and we post race reports on that, and I posted my race report, and they didn't know anything about this Peakwood climb, which was the last climb of this race, which was just ridiculously steep. I couldn't even believe that people lived at the top of this thing. They could even get their cars up these roads. I mean, I know they can, but it was, it was so steep, it almost would lose your balance. Kind of steep. It was just insane. I really did like it, but apparently the Peakwood climb was something that was not around the first year or so they did the race. So Crash was telling me that they must have run the easy version of the Blue Ridge, and I said, I don't think there is any easy version of the Blue Ridge Marathon. It was hard, but boy, it was challenging. And I treated it as an ultra, so I wasn't going in, you know, hoping for that 4 hours and 30 minutes finishing time because I just knew it wasn't going to happen. And I've kind of compartmentalized my marathons. If it's an urban marathon, I kind of compare the times. For example, like Richmond and Baltimore, I would kind of compare times because they're in city on city streets. But this was in a kind of a box all by itself because it was in the mountains. So I'm fine with the finishing time. You know, I finished. I got my medal, got my shirt. Had a great day. My wife and my dad were both there. We had come up the evening before. It was pouring down rain, and we woke up to just a beautiful morning and just a great course. Not sure if I'd return to run it because it was just so difficult. However, I would, you know, I recommend it to others. I'm not gonna, you know, not gonna criticize it because it was really good. And here's the best part about this race: they had all these bandit amateur water stops out there. You know, people that live there, if you're running through the area where they live, they bring out a table and they set up stuff. And I had, I think I had lemonade from a little kid's stand. They said it was free, so it wasn't really a lemonade stand. It was, you know, where they were charging. And then the highlight of the race, for refreshment wise, was this little girl that had a huge bag of grapes at one of these bandit stops. And I got a couple from her, and they were so cold. I put them in my mouth, and it was almost like ice in my mouth. It felt so good. I actually, then I ran ahead, and I actually turned around and came back and got a whole handful more. And it was just, God, it was just so refreshing. They're so cold. And they weren't frozen. They were just cold. And I just remember that being really cool. So, yeah, we'll talk more about that with Sandy, and that'll be a full show about the Blue Ridge Marathon. All right, well, yesterday was on April 27th, was the 35th running of the Ashland Railroad Run. It hasn't always been called the Ashland Railroad Run. It started in 1979 over at Randolph-Macon, and it was called the Randolph-Macon Run or something like that, and I believe it was a 5K, and we put a little display board together for people that came into the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, which was kind of race headquarters, so they could kind of see what some of the articles were and pictures were from back in 1979. And the race evolved over the years in Ashland. You know, it was always an annual spring tradition, and over the years, the Hanover Arts and Activity Center took it over as a fundraiser, and that's how it's been over for the last 10, 15 years or so. And I've been involved with it heavily for the last 4 years. The first year I got involved in managing the race was when we had to change the course, and I developed a new course, and that created a little controversy because it was a partial double loop course, which it's really not that unheard of. I've run races where there's looping that goes on. You just have to pay attention. And it's pretty flat course. But we were constrained to one quadrant of the town because there's so many people that live in the west end of Hanover County now that come through Ashland. We can't cross one of the major arteries in the downtown area, which is how it used to be. And so that once that was rejected, we had to come up with an alternative. And so back in 2010 is when the course changed, and I worked really hard to come up with a course that would start and finish within real close walking distance of the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, and be a decent race course, something that I would want to do if I was a road racer for this event. And so we got it certified, and we changed the course, and we lost some participants the first year, I think, as a result. But we slowly got the numbers back again. So we're way over 500 yesterday. We have three events. We have a 5K that starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then you have a kids race 1 mile that starts at 8:15, and then you have the 10K main event at 9 a.m. and that's chip timed. And we had just over 260. I think it was 262. I'm not exactly sure how many people ran the 10K. I think I counted 262 in the results. I'm getting confused with the 5K. 5K, we had 202. And then the kids race, I think it was about 50 kids. It was awesome. Really was a lot of fun. Weather was perfect. It got a little warm. I remember, I'm not going to recap every single moment of the race, but I'll think of things as they come. I'll mention things as they come to me. One lady, I stand at the finish line to greet and congratulate the top three in top three women and top three men and get their names. So I make sure that the names that I see at the finish line visually are the names that come up on the results when they get given, they were given to me in a printout. And the reason I do that is because yesterday the second place men's chip didn't register for some reason. And that's a good thing I was standing there at the finish line. And I make sure I ask each person, did you do the two loops? And they say yes. And the reason I ask that is because I've had people that haven't done the two loops. And last year, the lady that came in either second or third female, was very surprised. And she told me how she really took a lot of time off and had a better PR. And I said, well, did you do a second loop? She said, no, I didn't know I had to. I said, well, you got to do two loops. I heard later on, you overhear a lot of people talking, and sometimes they don't know that I'm the race director because they're not paying attention to anything from, minute one when they come on site. And you can figure out who the race director is pretty quick if you're paying attention to what's going on. But if you're not paying attention to anything, you're not going to know. So you're going to end up running your mouth and embarrassing yourself when the race director walks past and hears your conversation. And this is what happened yesterday. I overheard a lady. I'm not going to mention her name. I figured out who she was just kind of by accident. She was complaining to our computer timing person at the table where that man was working on the computer, getting the results together. Was complaining about how she didn't know that she had to run two loops. And she said, well, nobody told her. She said, I didn't see anything where I had to run two loops. And the interesting thing about that is that was in all the pre-race material. Everything about this race is advertised as a partial double loop course, because I don't want people to think it's an out and back or point to point, then get disappointed if they got a... When I say partial double loop course, it just uses the same two streets partially on a second loop before it routes you back out to the railroad tracks. It's just to get another, I think, 0.75 miles out of the course so it can finish along the railroad track. It was very difficult design the course. But anyway, so this lady was complaining to the, saying about how nobody told her that. And that was the only one person out of everybody that participated. And every year since we've had this race, there's always been one or two that screw it up. And even in the pre-race announcements, when I'm standing out in the middle of the street with a loudspeaker, telling people is a partial double loop course. Make sure you do two loops, not one, not three. But, nobody listens to that. I've been out there in races where you can't hear in the back. You can't hear anything. But, if you don't know where you're going when you're getting ready to run a race, then you need to pay attention to the marshals. So if you already know the course and you know what you've read in the pre-race material, if you looked at it, because all race directors provide some information about the course. If you look at all that, well, it's your responsibility as a runner to reasonably know the route of the race course, just to have a reasonable idea of what the course is based on whatever information is given out to you from the race director through email or handouts or whatever. So if you're out there and you don't know the course, which is what this lady, clearly nobody told her to run two loops. If she didn't know that, then her responsibility is to listen to the marshals. And we have a special marshals training to explain to people who are marshaling the race, especially in the key intersection where you go a second direction, a second loop through. They don't get it wrong. So she's not paying attention to the marshals either. And so I really don't have any sympathy for her. I'm sorry that she didn't get a finishing time. That it's just not going to work. Now, what Metal Events Timing did, when I looked at their timing on the internet, the results, they had these names on, it was actually two people, and they called it the short course. So they actually put their names out for the short course because they had a finishing time for that. I think they have to do that to split them out, because otherwise, 42 minutes would put her up in the age group, so they have to be stricken from that. It happens. It's happened each year. I don't know what else to do other than to, personally tell each person to run two loops. But I try to do that through the different media, and sometimes it doesn't work. So it is funny. And what I do in the pre-race announcements when I'm standing out there in the street, when I tell all the runners, and this is done right before, right after the national anthem, so we have everybody's attention. At least we try to. And I told him, I said, look, don't run one loop, don't run three loops. I said, otherwise, you'll be the person that we're laughing about after the race, and you'll be the one that I'll be talking about here next year. And every year it happens. So That's okay though. I do think it's kind of funny that happens, and I feel sorry for the folks that don't pay attention. Maybe I'm just more cognizant of when I go run races of what the general route is. So, and I look at the marshals when I'm coming up to a turn to make sure I'm getting a good instruction. And we try to train our marshals to do that. So that was just one little piece. Of course, I'm always looking at the negative. You know, the positives are we had two new course records yesterday. The men's record is 32:58 was broken from 33:57, and the women's record, which was 40:26, is now was broken as 37 something now. Just outstanding. And I had one lady who finished pretty quick. She didn't finish in the top three, but when she crossed the finish line, she complained that the race, it was too hot outside and that we needed to have the race earlier in the morning. And she said, well, why don't y'all have this race early in the morning? It's just too hot out here. I said, well, you know, it's late April and it's spring and I can't control the weather. And I said, ma'am, it's a timing thing. I said, I've got two other events that start at 8. I said, if it was up to me, I would start the whole thing at 6:30 in the morning, and we'd be out of there before 10 o'clock. But people wouldn't show up, and the police don't want it to start that early. You see, they got to get officers out there to work. And plus, they doubled the amount of officers this year, and also I was required to pay for another one just for extra security in our downtown area. But you know, so that's what people don't like. They don't like, they want everything to be, just perfect for their race. And, you know, I guess if it had been raining outside, she probably would have complained that it was, you know, well, it's, you need to have this race some other time of year when it wouldn't be raining, you know, whatever, what WTF, I can't control, you know, that weather at all. Of course, on the flip side, there's so many positive things. We had great volunteers show up, maybe a little thin on the 5K. Needed a couple more spotters and pointers because the 5K and the kids race finished during the same stretch, and we just funneled them into two different shoots. Could have used a couple more volunteers there, mainly a spotter to start splitting people in the road. Tom Grant did a great job with the timing on that. Used the iPad technology again and posted all that to racesplitter.com. That worked out pretty good. And the Center of the Universe Challenge, the CO2 Challenge, went off great. We had 30 participants in that, and that was for folks who wanted to run the 5K and the 10K. And we had people that raced both. Dr. Smitty was out there. He came in second in the 5K out of 200-plus runners. And came in first in his age group in the 10K. I mean, that was just awesome. And he did the Center of the Universe Challenge. That was won by Amy Dietz and Carl Cover. These are the people that posted the fastest combined finishing times for both events. And these people race. They race the 5K, and then, you know, you take a little break, and then they race the 10K. And, you know, if I had a whole lot of time, you know, if I was a professional race director, I would figure out a way to put those two races a little bit closer together. But what happens is then you got 5K people out there, walkers, and then your 10K. I never complain about walkers because they bring in revenue for your event, and they have deserve a chance to go out there and participate in these events too, and you know, walk for a charity, which is what the Hanover Arts and Activity Center is. But the only problem that walkers pose is that it stretches everything out with time. And so what we do is we give the because the 5K course uses my first out and back part of the 10K course, so I need to try to get them cleared off as much as possible. You know, it's a railroad run, so it's down the railroad tracks. And so as a result, when we start the 10K at 9 o'clock, most of my walkers are already off the course, and those that aren't, we just send a lead cyclist down there to ask them to get over to the right side of the road and before this big, you know, herd of people comes running down the road. So that works out pretty good. So that's the reason the two, a 5K and a 10K are so far apart. But, you know, with the Center of the Universe Challenge, ideally you would have them much closer together. So your 10K racers who are in the challenge are running on, you know, legs that they just raced the 5K on instead of having about, 30 minutes to rest. So, you know, we had a good day and got everything cleaned up. And I think I was sitting over at the Trackside Grill across the street drinking a beer by 12:15, 12:30. You know, got everything put away up back, stored up in the attic again. And I think that's going to be the last year that I'm going to direct a race. It's an emotionally draining And it's an emotionally draining experience. I and physically draining. I had mentioned this to Tamara, my co-race director, earlier this season. And my wife had kind of asked me to really consider not doing it again. The main thing is time. And there is so much time you spend on the computer, so much time you spend in emails, so much, a lot of meetings. And I like doing the meetings. I guess I didn't like doing the computer stuff as much. And, you know, we have it almost down to a science, because there's a master checklist, you know, per month of the stuff that needs to be done. And I've talked about this before in the podcast. The potential for things to go wrong, there's so much potential for things to go wrong. Fortunately, we've had issues come up each year with some registration issues. Those things are always solved. It's none of it's ever a total disaster. However, it's so draining to solve those problems, and you just got to get up so early, and it's a pure adrenaline rush, if you like that. And if you plan well, then you execute well, and that's what we do. And you know, I can definitely I don't have a problem patting myself on the back a little bit, because we work really hard at this, and my predecessors, the previous race directors, have worked hard, and we've set up a product that brings people from out of the area to, you know, the small town Ashland. And you know, it's not a huge race where you have 600, 700 people, 1,000 people. You know, it's not like that. I don't think our venue can handle that, because we have parking, we have issues. I don't even think that many people would fit on the street at the starting line the way we have it set up. We'd have to figure out something else. I think it's just the right size for what we're trying to accomplish at the Hanover Arts and Activities Center, which is fundraising. And this raises $16,000 to $18,000 each year that the race is done. It's just, as an individual, I'm kind of ready to pass the reins, if you will. And I was under the impression that Tamara this was going to be her last year doing it as well. But I kind of heard a rumor, I guess, yesterday, or I heard it from my mom, that she might do it again. And if that's the case, I'll kind of feel bad. I don't want people to think I'm, you know, dropping her, but it's really just me. It's a lot of work, and you know, I'm not complaining by any means. I mean, I know there's other people out there that put on events and they work full time and have a family. It's just in the spring, I kind of want to do some other things, and I'd like to still be involved in the event, but just not as the director of it. And I don't think that's really that unreasonable. I've been heavily involved in it for 4 years. That's you know, four out of my 6 years that I've, or 5 years that I've been on the board at the Hanover Arts and Activities Center. And you know, I've given a lot of myself to it, and we've improved some things, we've changed some things, and there will be people that will change those things back in the future, to think, because they'll have better ideas or different ideas. And that's really the beauty of the event, being that it's been going on so long, so many people put their mark on it. And I feel like I've put my mark on it. And when you've done that, there's you know, what else is there to do? Yeah, there's some things that I'd like to see the race become, but when you're working with so many other people and it's a charity event, it's very difficult to mandate some things which would just cost more money. And that the point is not to really spend more money, it's to kind of generate more money. So I'll have to reflect a little bit more on that before I make a final decision. But the reason I'm putting that out in the podcast is because if you've been listening to the show since the start of if you've been listening to the podcast from the beginning, you've heard me talk about the Ashland Railroad Run every year. And I'll continue to talk about it, but I just probably won't be as heavily involved. All right, well, that's the you know, Boston to Blue Ridge to Center of the Universe show. I'm going to get into the email bag section of the show. And let's see who checked in this week. I heard from Adam McGuire out of Minnesota. And it's been a while since he checked in. He said he was doing on his long runs in the snow up in Minnesota. He's getting ready for the Brookings Marathon, which is in a few weeks. And he was listening to the most recent show, which was the interview with Steve about ulcerative colitis. And he said his sister-in-law was diagnosed with that about 5 to 6 years ago. And he does a lot of team challenge events and fundraisers, and he thought it was nice to have some attention drawn to the cause. So that's pretty cool, Adam. I appreciate you mentioning that. Please check out Steve's fundraising page, which you can find a link to that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I hope that you would look at that at least and consider it. And all the other listeners out there, I'll link to that. It's already linked at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Just go to episode 176. You'll see it there. And Adam also wrote that he really appreciates the down-to-earth nature of the podcast. And he knows that I'll be likely talking about the Boston Marathon. And Adam, thanks for the feedback. You know, I'm just a regular guy going out there hitting, doing my miles and going to work and, you know, going to church and working, you know, be doing stuff in the community, raising a family, and I'm trying to reflect that in some of the podcasts. Podcasts, try to get them out every 2 weeks, but sometimes it's hard, and sometimes I feel like I don't have anything to say. And then there are other times I feel like I got a lot to say. And so I appreciate you listening. You know, not everybody always does. So I appreciate you checking in. I also heard from David Williams from Down Under, and he writes, this is really cool, what he did here. I'm going to just read it. Hey, Dave, my sympathies to all runners in the USA for the bastard bombings in Boston. Explosion was felt all over the world, and Aussie hearts go out to all those who have suffered as a result. Bombing a marathon, how low can you go? It all adds to the feeling of fear around big crowds, doesn't it? Let's hope that... he didn't type prick, but I know that's what he's right. That's what he wrote, because that's what he means, because of the way he's got the letters in there. Let's hope that prick is caught quickly. Well, yeah, he already has, which David didn't know by the time he had wrote that email. Anyway, he said that his run on April 16th was run in silence, out of respect for everybody in the U.S. So I told him I would email him. I said, "Dad, wow, Dave, very nice words. The run in silence was touching. I'll pass that on." I thought that was right cool for him to share that. Next one here is... I wanted to mention... Did I mention my cousin wrote a book called Against All Odds? I'm not sure if I mentioned that. He ran six... he participated in six... He didn't finish one of them. Ironman triathlons on six... continents, and the book is called Against All Odds. I think what I'll do is I'll link to that on my podcast. I'm gonna link to that. I guess to the Amazon page, Amazon.com page for it. I'm not really sure if I'll be able to link to that, but that way you can check it out. It's a real cool book. I've already read it, and my cousin's name is John Pendergrass. And here's the interesting part: he did them all when he was in his 60s. That's when he did his first Ironman, and he did another four. Didn't finish one of them, but he did participate, finished five, and started a sixth, six continents of the globe, and all while in his 60s. And the reason the book is such a good read is you get an idea of how totally, just how consuming training for a triathlon is. Also heard from Phil, and Phil, appreciate you checking in. He said he's still listening and enjoying the podcast. He was going up to do the Martian Marathon to see Dirt Dog, and that's his ninth marathon this year, and he's going to be doing the Strolling Gym next month. He's wishing me good luck at Blue Res. Really appreciate that. And I was asking him if he had great weather up there, and he said, yeah, it's a typical spring day in Michigan, 37 degrees, intermittent sleet and snow. And but then he... went down to Birmingham, and it was 76 degrees down there. So it's classic. I heard from Dr. Smitty. Very good to hear from him. I'm going to mention him a little bit here. Dr. Smitty is now, I'm going to proclaim him an honorary Ashland American, because Ashland American, he was up here yesterday. He came up, did the two races. He's done the 10K numerous times now. And he's done the Patrick Henry Half Marathon numerous times. And he says we went to lunch with our big group that did the race. The man's of the race. And he knows all these people now. He knew a handful of the marshals from over the years. He knows people that manage the race from over the years, just the people that volunteer. So he's got lots of friends up here in Ashland, that people that he's met through me. And then here's the cool thing. some of the people that I know go down to his neck of the woods and do a 50K down the Seashore Nature Trail, and they're friends, you know, outside of me, and I think that's cool. I my wife has a friend who doesn't like it when people get to know each other and are friendly that she introduced, and then they become friends without her. I always thought that was kind of weird. I think it's the opposite. I think it's cool. And so as a result, Dr. Smitty and some of my friends have become good friends just because they do some other races down his way. But anyway, he said that he paced the Dismal Swamp Stomp Half Marathon group, the 145 group, down at the Dismal Swamp Stomp Half Marathon, which was April 13th. And so I guess he ran that in an hour and 45. I guess he got a free entry for that. He said it was his first time being a pacer. Says he's he was a little nervous, and he came up, we went to lunch and hung out for a bit, and you know, it's really cool because I met Greg through the podcast, and then I've been down to his 40th birthday party. I met his family. We've been out on the lake with them. I mean, we've done all these different things, and families know each other now. And we've become really good friends, and I don't really see that changing at all. So anyway, really cool to see you yesterday, Greg. Really glad you came up. And yeah, you're definitely proclaiming you an honorary Ashland American. That's what we call ourselves here. I heard from Dirt Dog. Appreciate that, Mike. He said that told me to have fun at the Blue Ridge. The air sucking hands on knees forward motion will be rewarded with great views and brews once your race is complete. And yeah, I definitely did. And also ran into Kevin Green up there, which I haven't emailed him yet. Kevin Green from the justfinished.com website, he runs that. It's a running community. He did the double. And actually, I did get an email from him. He says, we all stayed at the same hotel, and I ran into him down in the lobby. And he ended up doing the double. I think they started between 2:30 and 3 in the morning. They said he had a group of 12 to 20 that were doing it. And they went. I guess he got up. They started that, and then he ended up finishing the second half of the double in 6 hours and 30 minutes. So I'd already left by the time he finished. But as you said, it's just remarkable, and really is remarkable. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move that. So that was really cool. Kevin, good to see you. I'm not sure if you still listen to the show or not. You probably put it on your iPod from time to time, but I owe you an email. I think it's remarkable what you did. All right, well, let's see who else checked in here. Heard from Mark out of Keensburg, Colorado, and this is an older message because this was actually left on the ashland.podbean.com site, which I did not notice until just about 2 weeks ago. Let me tell you about Mark. He's out of Keensburg, Colorado. He said, "Hello, Dave. I'm Mark, a husband, father, grandfather, and runner. I only started running 2.5 years ago at age 53. Since then, I love hearing your show, and I've run with Walk Break 7 marathons, 2 or 50Ks. My marathon PR is 4:40. I'm proud of that with my late start in running. He wanted to get the DVDs. He thinks it's a great thing I'm doing for the community. He's going to try to do a 50-mile this year, and he hopes that I continue the podcast for many years. He does not have a TV or an iPod, so he listens to the podcast on the laptop, and he listens to Dirt Dog and a few others, and he wants the DVD. And so I mailed that out to him, and I think he has mailed his donation in, which is optional, of course. And thanks for the message, Mark. I really do appreciate that. And I'm sorry that it's taken me so long to get that out to you, and I'm sorry it's taken me so long to respond to your message. It's only because I didn't get it. I didn't get it till late. If you want to email me, that email is ashlanddave@gmail.com. That is the email if you want to contact me. And the DVDs that I'm mentioning are amateur documentaries that I've done of some of my ultramarathons and other people's ultramarathons. And they're actually they're pretty good. The reason I say amateur is because they're not professionally produced. I produce them with the software on the MacBook Pro. And I've got this small camera that really records great video for being so small. And even when you put it on the big screen, when you put it in the DVD player, it looks pretty good. And so I make these available. And if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and scroll down several shows back, you'll see the whole list of DVDs. And the one that I'm the most proud of is, of course, my first 50-miler up at North Face. And that was where I was carried off with bandages on around my feet. And then the Graveyard 100. And, yeah, these are somewhat vain attempts to document, you know, these great things that I did and, you know, how great I think of myself. But what I've done is I've turned these into an opportunity to get money for Ashland Christian Emergency Services, which is a local charity that helps the less fortunate in the Ashland community. And so it's optional. I mail out the address with the DVD, and I just request a $10 donation be sent directly to them. I don't know if you do it or not. I don't check up on it. I have periodically heard from the charity, ACES Charity, that donations have come in from all over the country and even Australia. And I think that's really cool to hear that, but I don't get a spreadsheet or anything. So it's really just an optional thing, but I would encourage you to check that list at ashlanddave.podme.com and see if it's something that you're interested in. All right, well, I've also heard from David Williams again, and he said he loved the DVD of the three ultras. He gets a lot of motivation from them. And he did a 50K called the Convicts and Winches in Tasmania, Australia. But he had a colonoscopy 2 days before, and he was severely dehydrated. And I think I might have already read this before because that almost made me sick when I thought about that. But he's also got a website, which I'm going to link also. I've already linked on my site. It's 200kmsforacure.com, 200kilometersforacure.com. And his goal is trying to raise $20,000. It's similar to what Steve Benani's doing. It's for Cure Cancer. It's a charity very close to his heart because he lost a daughter to cancer a few years ago. So we will continue to link to that in the on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. All right, well, that is it for this week of the podcast. If you stuck around this long, I appreciate it. I will be back in 2 weeks with another show. And as long as I have something to say, I'll continue to put out the podcast. And I'd like to thank you for listening to it. As always, you can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's the preferred method. I do have Twitter, but I don't check it that much. And I don't have a whole lot of time to do messaging through Facebook. But the way my brain works is that everything works through email. So email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And, you know, there was a guy at one point in time who listens to the show, I can't remember who it was, who was going to help me set up a Facebook page for the podcast. And not sure what happened. I think it was Chris Trawick. And I got an email from him the other day, and he has got, he's doing a run for the heroes, run across Georgia, and he's doing a fundraising for House of Heroes, and he is asking for people to support his cause and making a donation to his fundraising page. I'm going to link to that also, Chris Trawick's page. He's the one that's has the Running After Daylight blog, and we've been down to some of the same areas, doing ultras. And, so Chris, hopefully all is well, and, hopefully people will be directed over to help you with your fundraising. So I'll put that on there, and, okay, well, that's it. I'm going to sign off. This is Ashland Dave, running in the center of the universe and race directing in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and have a good week.